of reviewing the staff reports contained in the agenda item as it relates to the new fire truck, and have each of you had the opportunity to have all of your questions answered by Chief Scales or any other staff member, anything that you have about the necessity of the truck and the proposed funding, which now we're not concerning ourselves with the proposed funding. Have all your questions or the opportunity to have all your questions been answered? Yes?
Yes, yes. I have one statement about the financing. And again, I know we're not going to talk about, make a decision on that. But again, I mean, the rate that we received, I'm trying to flip over to it real quick. It was 4.18. So I guess, Mayor, my question would be, on the financing, could we not say that we do not exceed the 4.18, or we just leave it be and see if we get something less?
Mike.
Yeah, you can do that. This is an approval of a bid. We put this financing package out for bid. So the council can reject the bid if you want to.
Right. But I guess, again, I'm looking at the time frame of getting this done if we elect to move forward with the fire truck, which we will. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it, but if we verbalize to Michael to give them the approval to move forward based upon the interest rate being no more than 4.18, but that wouldn't work since we're putting it back out for bid. So I answered my own question.
Okay,
thank you.
There you go.
I was trying to find a way to
lock
it
doing.
In, but we can't.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That's okay.
Question.
Yes.
Skip. The 4.18 is for the 10-year. The 4.28 is for the 7-year.
Correct.
Should you specify that as well in what you're saying?
Yeah, but we can't do that. We my idea didn't work.
Right. See, I think
I'm with you, Bill.
Now with the interest rate decrease,
it'll be less
anyway. And actually put into the motion that financing will be determined then.
Well, that's a good motion, Bill.
And that's kind of where I was trying to go with.
Just leave it open.
That makes sense. Okay.
Would you mind repeating that? We didn't pick it up on the mic.
It kept going off. I guess I was leaning on it while I was talking. You want me to restate it?
If you wouldn't mind, that'd be great.
Restate it?
Yes, please.
I'm just saying with 7%, the 4.1 that Skip was talking about was a 10%. A 4.2 is the 7%. I think if we put a specified number in there, we make it to where it will be determined, and with the 0.5% decrease that just came in, I'm having a feeling it'll even go down. So, I mean, if you want to put the number in, fine, but I think you need to specify one is for a 10-year and the other one is for a 7-year. You just can't say that number.
Did you want to defer the financing part to another time?
Well, here's what the motion I was going to say.
Okay, yes.
To approve the purchase of 75 Quint apparatus for Metheny Fire and Emergency in the amount of $1,263,000. $200 with the financing yet to be determined.
Okay. Yeah, and if you could include the piggybacking arrangement, acknowledging that?
Say that again.
Acknowledge the piggyback, that this is approved through a piggyback contract. That's where that price comes from.
You want that included in there? Sure. Motion to approve the piggyback. Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the piggyback purchase. Try it again. I make a motion to approve the piggyback purchase of a 75 Quint apparatus, Metheny Fire and Emergency, in the amount of $1,263,200 with the financing yet to be determined.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. A roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. And now we have the resolution, and if I may, as we look at the resolution, It does reference our the lease purchase agreement as well. So how is it best for us to proceed with that resolution?
Yeah, if I could, that agreement assumes the TD Bank will be selected as the financing. So the first item before that, number two, is to approve the financing. But given what has been said, you would at this point just reject it. You could choose to reject the bid.
I'm sorry, just do what?
Reject the bid for the financing, yes.
Which would make the resolution obsolete.
Correct.
Correct.
It cannot be fixed on the fly because it would require a title to change.
Okay, so then the resolution, we will deal with that a future time. Do you need us to say anything? Table?
Yeah, if you want us to go out for a new bid, then please do that. You can start by rejecting this bid. Now, keep in mind, the resolution is required by TD Equipment Financing. That was their requirement as part of this bid package.
Okay, so we're going to need a motion to reject the bid, okay, and which makes the resolution obsolete. So however you wish to best incorporate that in a motion, who wants to do that? Go ahead, Bill.
I make a motion that we reject the proposal of the bid for the purchasing of the 75-foot Quint apparatus.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Now, is there anything further that you need from us on this item?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Right, Mayor, I have one question. The liquidation of the current equipment, the current fire truck. I'm asking, what's the next step in
what
that?
What is the next step yes, on that?
Yes.
Mike, the next step on that is that when we talk about the budget.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, that's going to come up with a budget. I mean, we could address
it there.
That's
fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Item 9, we have no public hearings or quasi-judicial matters. Item 10, Ordinance 2024-03, second reading. Cliff, would you read that by title only, please?
I would be happy to.
Thank you.
Ordinance number 2024-03, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponsonlet, Florida, amending the Land Use and Development Code, Article 3, Use Regulations, Section 3.17, docks, boathouses, boat slips, piers, providing definitions and standards, providing for codification, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Cliff. Mike?
Yep, this is second reading. There are no changes to the ordinance. Darren Lear's here if you have any questions.
Does anyone have any questions with respect to this ordinance second reading?
No.
No.
Does anybody in the audience have any questions or wish to address this topic? Seeing none, I'll take a motion.
Right.
Second reading motion.
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve the second reading of Ordinance 2024-03, amending Section 3.17, boat slips, boat docks, boathouses, boat slips, and piers of the LUDC to be consistent with a comprehensive plan.
Seconds.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Item 10B, which is the final millage rate and budget for fiscal year 2024-2025. The next two items within this agenda item itself will be discussed together once our town manager takes this agenda item and presents it to us. Therefore, I'm going to be asking our attorney to read by title only both the resolution 2024-16 as well as ordinance 2024-05.
Yes, Mayor. Resolution 2024-16, read by title only, a resolution of the Town of Ponsonlet, Volusia County, Florida, adopting the final millage rate for the levying of ad valorem property taxes for municipal purposes on all taxable property within the town for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2024, and ending September 30, 2025, stating the percentage by which the millage to be levied is above or below the rolled back rate, providing for severability, providing for conflicting resolutions, and providing for an effective date. Ordinance number 2024-05, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponsonlet, Florida, incorporating the final audited budget for fiscal year 2022-23, which began on October 1st, 2022 and ended on September 30th, 2023, amending the budget for fiscal year 2023-2024, which began on October 1, 2023 and ends on September 30th, 2024, adopting the budget for fiscal year 2024-2025, which will begin on October 1st, 2024 and ends on September 30th, 2025, providing for severability, providing for conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yes, thank you. Before I get into it, I don't know if you noticed the cover on the budget, that picture of the dunes that was taken by our principal planner, Patty Ripping, who in her spare time likes to take photographs around Ponce Inlet. So give her the credit for that.
Yay.
This is the 12th and final public meeting on the fiscal year 2024-25 budget. Budget includes input from all eight departments, input from the public, recommendation from two advisory boards, direction from the town council through two special meetings and workshops. At the hearing a couple weeks ago on the 4th, staff presented information on the key public services provided by the town, an overview of the entire budget schedule, recommendations by the Cultural Services Board and Essential Services Advisory Board, the Council's direction and priorities on level of service, historic millage rates, comparison of ad valorem revenue in Volusia County jurisdictions, the complete tax bill including Ponce Inlet and other taxing authorities, the proposed millage rate and impact, the general fund revenues and expenditures by department, carry forward items from the current fiscal year, revenue and expenditures from special funds, and requests to be deferred to a future fiscal year. The general fund budget contains the priorities of the town council related to public safety, maintenance of existing town facilities, and improvements to the stormwater drainage system. The budget also contains revenue and expenditures and special funds that are not dependent on property taxes, such as the replacement of the Public Works Building B out of the Land Acquisition Fund, and the septic to sewer project to be funded out of a 100% principal forgiveness loan through DEP. At the September 4th budget hearing, the council approved the budget on first reading and directed staff to remove two new leased vehicles for police and fire. The budget has since been revised as directed and is presented to you this evening for approval. Removing the two vehicles has reduced the budget by approximately $26,000, resulting in a new millage rate of 6.4559, which is 11.24% above rollback rate. Since the September 4th hearing, staff has received and answered over 30 email questions from the public and has posted the answers to the town's budget webpage. This month, staff has also met with members of the public and town council to discuss their budget questions and concerns in more detail. So, and to conclude, this is the budget that you, council, have directed us to prepare, so we are requesting your approval. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mike. So, to our council, are there any questions of Mike at this time? Joe, we can start there. No? Skip?
Yeah, sorry. I do have just a couple. Again, still concerned about the golf cart at 20K, the fire hose for the current fire truck that we currently have. Utility boxes, I keep hearing stories about the $9,000 for that. But tonight, this question just came up. So, from my understanding, with our current fire truck that we have maintenance budgeted, we have insurance budgeted, we have the handling cost of that piece of equipment currently budgeted, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, what I think I heard tonight, and I'll say, use that word think, we do not have anything budgeted for the new fire truck that we just approved.
Yeah, that fire truck, there is money there that was initially proposed to come out of the Economic Impact Fund and the Capital Fire Fund.
Let me clarify that then. Maintenance.
Oh, for maintenance.
Insurance.
I'm sorry.
I know we have the fund set up. So we do not have anything set up at all for the new fire.
That's my understanding. With that, is that correct, Chief Scales? Let me let him come up and address that, please.
I get it. Do we have funds earmarked for this truck specifically? No. We weren't sure we were going to get it. The funds that we have earmarked for the current vehicle, since it would go to reserve status, it's not going to require that much maintenance. We're taking one vehicle that we spent, I think, $18,000 in maintenance last year off the inventory, so there'll be a savings there. So any additional cost with the new truck will be offset by those savings.
We hope. We don't know, but I mean, I'm not trying to be hard-headed here, but what I'm looking at is a 15-year-old vehicle that you're telling me that is we need to replace it. Now, tonight you said, well, we could probably get another 3 years out of it, or four, or five, or we let it set idle. It's still going to require maintenance. And is there not state regulations that the pump has to be serviced, the tires, you know, tire wear, which I know it's just going to sit there, but tire rot. I mean, there's a lot of maintenance things that I have gone online and looked through on pieces of a fire truck for that's just general maintenance that has to be done yearly. So I guess my concern is, and it's a question, and I know we'll get to the other part later, but we do not have anything budgeted for the new fire truck that we just approved as far as maintenance and insurance. And I can't imagine the insurance cost is going to be cheaper since it's a brand new vehicle and it's $1,300,000 compared to a 10,000 plus fire truck. So it's just a concern, I guess, is my question. Thank you.
Sure. Anything else?
No, I'm done.
Okay, so just I'm taking my notes. Golf cart and fire hose.
Yes, and again, the fire hose, I understand it. If we keep the current vehicle, we have to have it. I'm not saying we don't need it. I'm just saying if we decide to liquidate the fire truck, there's $29,000 in there for that. So that's...
Okay. Bill?
No,
Gary?
No questions.
Okay, I will open it up to the public. Who would like to speak? Yes, Mr. Fields.
Steve Field, 6 Mars, Old North. I agree with Skip that at least at a minimum, we have to cover two insurances if we keep the truck. And maybe the maintenance cost isn't, but two insurances is a minimum we would have to spend. I don't believe we have two insurances built into the budget. But that's not my real question. My real question is, I heard tonight that we may use the backup ambulance a couple days a month. Now, don't we have a lift, and I might not say this right, but don't we have a lift stretcher in the first fire truck?
And not can't, in, not and in can't, the fire truck.
In the ambulance,
yeah.
And can't we, when those couple days a month when we have to use the second one, can't we move the stretcher, the lift stretcher from one ambulance to another?
Yeah, I'll let Chief Scales address this one as well.
And that's what we do now, yes, moving back and forth.
So potentially that's $40,000 that we don't need to spend on a backup, something as a backup. Our next question is, how many times a month do we go send two ambulances out? Do we have a history on that?
Chief, can you address that? These are all questions for Chief Scales, please.
Yeah, we only send one ambulance out. The other ambulance doesn't have a stretcher. We can't send it out.
So by definition, we don't need two lift stretchers, right?
I don't think he said need.
I appreciate what you're saying. The concern with the second stretcher is not, it is a need. When the first stretcher is out of service because it's broken, which happens, we have no stretcher. I have no ambulance at all. I can't use the ambulance because I don't have a stretcher for the ambulance. The second stretcher is a spare stretcher, so if one goes out of service for maintenance or it's broken, I can use this as a reserve. Plus, I have a second ambulance I could put in service if I needed to, but I can't do that without a second stretcher. That's all.
But we do have a stretcher manually, right? We can manually. So you only have one stretcher for two ambulances?
Yes.
Well,
Interesting.
Thank you, Mr. Fields. Yes.
Ryan McConaughey, 66 Seawind Circle. Again, I was in the fire service for 26 years. The number one beneficial piece of equipment that we have put in service in the EMS industry is power lift stretchers. I've seen multiple people go out on back injuries from trying to lift patients up into the back of the stretcher. So pay one stretcher or multiple back injury claims for on-the-job injuries. Guarantee you it is a money saver all the way around. As you can look at it any way you want, it will be a money saver because I have seen it personally. Granted, our ambulance is not quite as busy as most of ours were in the city of Orlando, but over and over and over again, firefighters went out on back injuries. I've had one back surgery myself because of those. So in the long run, this will be a money savings that the city won't have to pay injuries from lifting patients into the back of the unit. Thank you.
Excuse me? Well, you can come up. We're trying to limit to the rules once.
My understanding is we only use one ambulance at a time. So that ambulance will always have the power lift stretcher. So I'm not sure how you...
Wait, please. Mr. Field, you could ask us or the chief question.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But you understand my point.
Yep.
You understand my point.
I think I understand your point.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. White, did you want to come up? Mr. Field, please.
Shannon White, 39 Coastal Oaks. Can I address the golf cart?
The golf cart, okay. Yes.
I oppose the purchase of the golf cart for numerous reasons, but the actual need. I mean, how often... I understand the purpose is for special events. Well, how often would it be used? We haven't needed it in the past. Why do we need it now? Again, it's only $20,000. Only $20,000. I mean, again, those things compound. Those costs compound. And we do have a gator in our fleet that I see doing water meter checks or readings. Why can't we utilize it? I mean, they're not out there all the time. I don't know how often we use that gator. We can actually, you know, spend a few thousand dollars on putting in lights or stickers or magnets that say, you know, police safety on the gator on a temporary basis or on a permanent basis. But it's better utilization of a vehicle that sits sometimes, and if we're only going to use the golf cart for special events, maybe dual purpose is the answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I could address that real quick. Yeah, Chief Glazer can speak more if the council wants to hear it about how this gator would be used. But I also want to say this is not perhaps the right year to do that. We can also withdraw that.
Okay, and if Chief Glazer would please come up here. And I think, Mr. White, you asked earlier, too, about the Citizen Watch car. So I'm going to have Chief Glazer address that as well, okay? Chief, thank you.
Thanks. Good evening. Jeff Glazer, Ponce Inlet Police Department. What was the second thing I was supposed to address? I didn't hear you as I was walking out.
Oh, the Citizen Watch car, is it being used? How often is it being used?
Oh, sure. Can I answer that first?
Please, yes.
So we have six Citizen Watch volunteers, and they work 6 days a week. And so they will come to the station, they will pick up the vehicle, and then they will go patrol the neighborhood. They work anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. We have house watch checks that we give to our Citizens Watch volunteers. So they'll go to the different addresses. They'll check the residents. Most of these residences are either snowbirds, so they live in another state, or they're just gone on vacation for 2 or 3 weeks. They may be out of the country. Or we get special requests if somebody is ill and they're in the hospital and they want us to keep an eye on their house. So during the day, all of our Citizens Watch volunteers check all of our house watches, not to mention just being another set of eyes and ears for the town. They drive our streets. If they see anything suspicious, they get on the radio and they let us know. They actually pull in with the Volusia County dispatcher and they pull out with the dispatcher anytime that they see something or they want us to respond to. So they do that 6 days a week. And in addition, they also do our administrative runs. So we have, anytime we have administrative paperwork or traffic tickets that has to go downtown to Daytona Beach, they will make that run for us so that we don't have to leave town and we can stay in town. They also make runs to the store for us if we need any type of supplies for the break room, for cleaning and maintenance of our vehicles. They'll pick that up for us also. And again, it's just so we don't have to leave the town. They can make those administrative runs for us. But they do that 6 days a week. And we appreciate their service. It's 100%. They don't receive any benefits. We do give them a police radio to use. We also give them a volunteer shirt, and we give them the vehicle to drive around town.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. White? Yeah. Okay. The other question, I guess what you may want to share with us with the golf cart, whatever you wish to share.
Sure. So I guess beginning in January when I put my budget together, the first thing we do is we meet as a team to try to figure out what we need as a department, what we can use to enhance the public safety services that we provide to the citizens and the residents. And we come up with a number of things from, you know, years ago it was patrol rifles because we only had shotguns. It was new ballistic helmets, ballistic vests, things like that. So this year was just a golf cart. And the reason being is we have approximately 20 special events, anywhere from 20 people to the Legends Parade, which is probably 7,000 to 10,000 people. And when we talk to the guys, we say, you know, what can you use to enhance the services? And this year it was a golf cart. We call it a low-speed vehicle because it's street legal. And it's simply a way just to move through the crowds. If we ever bring all of our officers in for big events, we don't have enough cars for everybody, so they drive their personal cars there. So they felt that this is a way for everybody to get on the golf cart, and they can be dropped off at their different positions. We can pick them up at the end of the event, in addition to simply just moving in and out of the crowd, which you can't do with the patrol car. You can't go through the grass. You can't go on the sidewalk. You can't drive through the park, but you can do that in a golf cart. So it was really for the special events. And then in addition to that, when it's not being used for special events, it could be used to patrol the neighborhoods. It could be used for our detail at the boat ramp. And so that was kind of the thought behind it. What I would say is, by no way, shape, or form is it a high priority piece of equipment. The things that I have on my gun belt, along with my patrol rifle and my ballistic vest and the ballistic helmet, those are high priority pieces of equipment. That's why I wear it on me at all times and take it everywhere I go. The golf cart is simply just a piece of equipment. It's a piece of equipment that we came up with just to enhance our services to the residents and the visitors. And looking at the different events that we have, we thought that we could use it for that. I would say this, and just, you know, in all honesty, if you want to see it used every day, then don't vote for it, because it won't be. It'll be used for different purposes at different times for different situations. And the same as the bicycles. The bicycles are used for different times and different situations. My guys wanted to be on the bicycles in the summer, and I said, no, I need you in a vehicle banging traffic tickets. Because in the summertime, when we're the busiest, I get all the complaints from the residents about people speeding down South Atlantic and South Peninsula. Well, if one of my guys is on a bicycle, he's not capturing them at all. He's doing nothing to slow those people down. So I pull them off the bicycles and I put them in their vehicles so that they can run traffic and slow people down. As it cools down and as the number of traffic slows down in the town, you'll start seeing those guys on the bicycles. And it would be the same with the golf cart. It's just used during certain situations at certain times, and it's just a piece of equipment.
Thank you so much, Chief. And Mike, do we have the number, what the mill rate would be if we were to remove the golf cart?
Yeah, we've calculated that. Yeah, I can give that to you right now if you'd like.
Yes. Does anyone have any questions of Chief Glazier about anything? Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, if
Thank you,
without
Chief.
The golf cart, that takes the millage rate down to 6.4402, which is 10.97 above rollback rate.
Mike, could you say that again? the numbers.
Yeah, sure. That is 6.4402. That would be the new millage, which is 10.97% above rollback rate.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public who wishes to address this agenda item? Okay, so I think that what we're looking at to start with, though, is the golf cart before we move forward. Is yes, the budget. You can come up if you want to. Then please. No, not just the golf cart.
Bonnie Carney, 86 Rains Court, and to address the police golf carts, first off, they have new trucks, they have SUVs, and they have bikes, and this budget contains a golf cart, an e-bike, and bike and boat uniforms. So that needs to be, if the golf cart gets taken out and they're not getting e-bikes, or they're not riding bikes or whatever, now we've got the boat uniforms is a budget item, so that should be addressed. As far as the power stretcher goes, I don't know if anybody priced a power stretcher. I did. You can get a power stretcher for about half that cost. You can get a refurbished power stretcher for about $2,000, maybe $3,000. Now, if this is something we're using a couple of times a month, $41,000 versus $2,000 to $3,000, and, seems like it makes sense and maybe should have been seen. Travel in 22-23 was $57,000 for travel, conferences, and training. 2 years later, it's $142,000. That's 2.5 times in 2 years. I wonder if anybody asked any real questions about what this travel, the conferences, et cetera, is about. You really should have the town manager cut that in half and have the departments deal with it. And I really doubt you'd see any loss of service or competency, and you'd be getting a lot of man hours back as well. There's $28,000 for a salary study. Now, unless this is some statutory requirement, cancel it, postpone it. Get an online version. I've looked, they're out there. You wait a year or two, there's going to be AI versions of it that'll be even better. They're not going to cost $28,000. Once again, the $9,000 for Bush-looking contact paper for the utility boxes seems unnecessary. It seems wasteful to me. And there are a question. The IT budget lists taser and body cams as an item. It also lists taser and body cam software. And the police budget lists taser and body cams. So if you could just describe why those are in the IT and the police. Not the software. I understand the software.
Yeah. Good. Randy, would you like to come up and address that, please?
Thank you.
Or someone from finance, would you like to come up and address that if you could?
Good evening. Jerry Hall, Assistant Finance Director. The sole reason for that is we put them in the IT budget. And last year, during the budget process, the police put theirs in to get two more. They had to get two more tasers, and they had already put it in the police budget. And so instead of having to come into a budget appropriation, we just left those two in the police budget.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Carney.
Thank you, Mayor. Michael, could you make that 10-year budget chart available, please?
Sure.
So there have been some questions in the audience about why are people concerned. This really is the crux of my initial concern about the overall budget. If you look at this chart, the first 6 years of that decade, the budget is pretty flat, and I think that's the time Mr. Disher refers to as kind of his budget valley, because they were paying fees for lawyers to fight legal battles and things like that. And so a lot of things probably didn't go on the way that we wanted them to go on. But in the last 4 years, this budget is up 70%, 70%. And I think that's been fueled by real estate prices going up. So it's been kind of easy money, and you haven't had to adjust the millage rate very much to make that happen. But real estate prices don't always go up, and so I just have a concern that the trend really has to start getting bent downward. Last year the budget was up 17%, and this year we're looking at about a 9.5% increase to the 24 and 25. And so, you know, people are concerned about that, and I'm not sure that the awareness really is there of the general public and even of the board members. I mean, Mr. Milano at the last meeting seemed quite proud that the budget was kind of in line with inflation this year. I think you said it was going up 2 or 3%, and I mean, it really isn't. It's going up 9.5%. And so I would appreciate, you know, the kind of fiscal frugality it would take to match the inflation rate and get there, but that's not where we are. And, you know, we've also heard many things being justified because of this budget valley, and I get that, but that was 4 years ago. And if you look at the budget, something, for example, of buying vehicles for the town to use, we've got 26 vehicles, and if you spent $50,000 on each one of them, that's about 1.3 to replace every one of them in 1 year. And this budget's increased almost that much for each year for the last 4 years. I mean, so it's really about priorities. It's not really about having money available. We have money, and the priorities are what the money gets spent on. And so that hasn't been the priority. But I just want us to all have our eyes open about, you know, what's going on with that, and maybe there needs to be some more scrutiny on what those priorities are instead of looking in the rearview mirror and saying, hey, we got a problem because of stuff that happened 4 years ago. And my other concern is, and I think some of this can be chalked up to you guys working the budget every day and we don't, but things like Mr. Field's question on what's going on with the funding for the town hall loan. At the last budget meeting, you know, we were kind of told, well, that money is not going to really help with future budgets. And so, you know, I left thinking, well, is it like a grant? Or, I mean, maybe it's money that's not coming from a source that we can access. I don't know where it's coming from. And then there were follow-up questions asked, and Mr. Ditcher did a good job of kind of laying the whole story out. But yet, in the initial meeting, it was very confusing. And so, you know, some full disclosure helps everybody, keeps everybody on the same page, and just realizing that what you say might mean something in your brain, but it doesn't mean the same thing in ours because it's not our vocabulary, you know. And I think we just need to figure out how to talk to each other more openly and just put on the table what are the real motivations behind these things and not kind of have shifting sands. You know, and if we need a new fire truck and we can justify it the way it's been justified, that's fine, but let's not justify it with, hey, it's too expensive to maintain. I mean, the numbers that we got for the maintenance, it would take 56 years of that maintenance budget to pay for a new fire truck. So we're not at the point of financially it makes sense from that point of view. There's clearly other points of view about that, but let's be careful about how we justify things, how we couch things, and that we're just open and we're honest with each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this? Okay, I'm going to close public participation, and now based upon the comments that you've heard and based upon your thoughts, I would like to know if council wishes to adjust anything, make any suggestions, or make a motion. Can say your piece.
Yeah, and Mayor, I guess I'm still back on the current vehicle and now understanding that with our new fire truck, we do not have anything budgeted for maintenance, insurance, the carrying cost, not the payment, but just the general maintenance. That is not in the budget from what we've just been told. So in my opinion, it drives us to liquidating our current piece of equipment where the money that's sitting there for that will potentially, even our insurance, in my opinion, will be higher. It'll help cover that deficit in the budget. And maybe I'm looking at this thing wrong, but if it's not in the budget for our insurance and maintenance for the new truck that we just approved, we have a shortfall before we even vote if we continue to carry our current piece of equipment. If we don't, it will potentially offset that. So,
thank you. Anyone else?
Nope.
Okay. So, where we're at right now is that if we have concluded our discussion. Now we're looking for first a motion, and is there someone ready to make a motion? Two separate motions, first on the resolution and the second on the ordinance.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2024-16 with a final millage rate of 6.4402.
I have a motion. Is there a second? No second? Okay. So the motion dies for lack of a second. Would someone like to make another motion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2024-16 with a final millage rate of 6.4559.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
No.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-1.
Thank you. And now we are up to the second reading and adoption of Ordinance 2024-05.
So that's a motion to approve second reading and adoption of Ordinance 2024-05 as just presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
No.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-1.
Thank you. Okay. We are now down to 11A, resolution 2024-17, accepting the results of the town's general election held on August 20th, 2024. Cliff?
Resolution number 2024-17 by title only, a resolution by the Town Council of the Town of Ponsonlet, Volusia County, Florida, accepting the results of the August 20, 2024 election as canvassed by the Volusia County Canvassing Board and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Kim?
Good evening, Council. This resolution before you is for acceptance of the results of the town's general election held on August 20th, 2024 for Council seat number 4. Councilmember Bill Milano for seat 2 was unopposed and automatically reelected. The Volusia County Canvassing Board has certified the results of the election. Staff has prepared this resolution for formal acceptance of these results, which are as follows. Councilmember / seat 4. J.R. Kessler, 349 votes. Joseph Villanella, 883 votes.
Thank you, Kim. Does anyone have any questions on this item? Anybody in the audience have any questions relating to this item? Okay, seeing none, who's going to make the motion?
I'll make the motion. Getting, no, ladies. You want to make your own motion? why don't you make your own motion?
I'll make it.
It is for you.
To approve resolution 2024-17 as presented. Yay.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're up to 11B, which is resolution 2024-18. Cliff?
Resolution 2024-18, read by title only, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Ponsonlet, Volusia County, Florida, authorizing a supplemental appropriation to the town's budget for fiscal year 2023-2024, providing for conflicts, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date.
Dan?
Good evening, Mayor, members of Council. What you have before you is a resolution approving a supplemental appropriations, which is basically reallocating funds to cover the cost for the piling repairs at Ponce Preserve in Timaquan Oaks, and hopefully to start the boat boat ramp repairs. You have the amounts there in front of you. These funds came from additional revenue through building permits. They're not coming from the reserve, general reserve. It's just funds that we had, additional funds that we had come in. We're just shifting them to cover this expense. And just a quick update on the project. We're starting to get parts and pieces together. Permits are being pulled. Fingers crossed, we'll be starting the repairs within the next few weeks.
Thank you, Dan. Does anyone have any questions on this?
Just one quick question. On the Ponsonlet boat ramp, did we not just repair that?
It's a funny question. Yes, we did. We actually repaired the decking of it. These repairs are under the water. And careful what you look for. When we looked at Ponce Preserve, it's my fault, I said, let's look at Tim Oaks and let's look at the boat ramp to make sure we're not missing something. So it was underwater. It wasn't obvious. If you looked at it, you actually had to dive and do the inspection.
But so what we're looking at doing will not affect the, I mean, they'll be taking the boards up.
Yes, sir.
Replacing the piles and going back down, or are they going to put sleeves over it?
They're actually going to have to replace a couple of the pylons. They're too far gone. Yep. Yeah, you're the decking, they'll take it up, do what they need to do, and put it back down, yes.
Anyone else? Any other questions? Does the public have any questions? Anyone there about this? Okay, seeing none, we'll have a motion.
I got to read that whole thing. I make a motion to approve Resolution 2024-18 authorizing the supplemental appropriation of $125,000 from the general fund excess revenue in building permits to fund the necessary piling reports at Ponce Preserve Broadwalk, the McQuan Oaks Broadwalk, and the docks at the Ponce Inlet Boat Ramp.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. We have agenda item 13A, our new business. This is an interlocal agreement with Volusia County to maintain the current process for payment relating to impact fees. So, Mike?
Yep. Our Planning and Development Director, Darren Lear, is going to address this.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council. Earlier this summer, state law was amended to require that a government that issues a building permit must collect transportation impact fees unless there is an interlocal agreement to facilitate the collection. The bill provides that if a county and/or municipality charges a transportation impact fee for new development or redevelopment, the county and/or municipality must create and execute an interlocal agreement to coordinate the mitigation of transportation capacity impacts or establish a process to collect and distribute the collected revenues. Volusia County has impact fees for thoroughfare roads, emergency medical services, and regional parks that also apply to developments within cities. Under the current system, a contractor is required to provide a receipt for payment of county impact fees to the town before the issuance of a CO. If an interlocal agreement is not in place due to this law, developers will receive a 10% reduction in impact fees and proportionate fair share agreements. This interlocal agreement maintains the existing system between the county and the town for the calculation and collection of county road impact fees. The agreement is being provided to all other municipalities that utilize the same arrangement. And with that, staff recommends approval.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions about this?
No.
Does the public have any questions with respect to this item? Okay, there are none, so we will have a motion.
I make a motion to approve the interlocker agreement as presented to maintain the current process for county transportation impact fee collections and remittance.
The motion, is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Council.
13B, acceptance of bid from Sea Level Development, LLC. Mike?
Chief Scales will address this one as well.
Hello again.
Dan Scales, Fire Chief, Public Safety Director. What you have before you this evening is a requested bid award to Sea Level Development for, thank goodness, the starting of some of these stormwater improvement projects that have been long waiting to get done. We received one bid for the amount that's in the packet. We did meet with Sea Level with our engineering firm to go over the projects, to go over the design, to make sure that everybody was on the same page, and to get some feedback from the contractor as far as what their capabilities are going to be. This is a type of work that they do all the time. We're confident that they'll do the work the way we need it done. And fortunately, most of it actually came in a little bit less than we anticipated. So we think if everything goes according to plan, we may have some funds available to roll forward into next year to finish the third part of this, the old carriage drainage issue. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions of the council? No? No? None. Anyone in the public? Okay. Seeing none, motion?
Sleeping over here. I make a motion to approve the awarding of the contract for the Ponce Inlet Stormwater Improvement Projects Bid 2024-01 to Sea Level Development, LLC, in the total project amount of $264,142.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. We are down to our town council comments. Vice Mayor Smith.
Another very informative, very well-run meeting. I thank all the people that have now left for their comments and participation in here, and this is the way a meeting should be run. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Council Member Villanella.
Yes, another very, very informative meeting. And I would like to take this moment to compliment the staff, the management crew in the town. I'm involved in some other political entities. And I cannot tell you how many folks have complimented the town of Ponce Inlet for the way our council meetings are conducted. There have been people that have visited our town over the last 6 to 8 months that sit in our meetings and are absolutely amazed at the cordiality, the friendliness, the openness, the transparency, and the way things are conducted. So a big thank you to all of you for all that you go through. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Councilman White.
Yes. Cliff has me on a five-minute clock, so that was my prerequisite before I started. First, I want to say congratulations to you, Mayor, for being appointed the Vice Chair of the Florida League of Cities Utilities, Natural Resources, and Public Works Committee. Thank you for getting Ponce Inlet a seat at the table. My fellow council members, I do want to talk about one thing quickly. The Florida League of Cities, I know I talk about it a lot, but they do conduct webinars anywhere 1, 2, 3 a month. These webinars have really helped me as far as my education process. Sometimes you can see it, sometimes you can't. But, you know, it's helped me in the process of being a first-time council member. But it covers ethics all the way down to different types of municipality, your duties as a council member, as a mayor. And I got to tell you, it has really been educational for me. One statement that was made, and I have my note right here, Randy Moore, of course, was on here, Cliff, for this past one, ethics webinar, and it talked about potential conflicts, your performance as a municipal duties as far as what we are bound by as a council. And one statement he made, he said, the best time of your life is the night that you found out you were elected. After that, the long hours, reading, meetings, reading, emails, phone calls, complaints, so on and so forth, that should be the worst time of your life. And if it's not, you're not doing your job. So I took that to heart. It really made a lot of sense because we all go through ups and downs as far as what we feel like that we go through on a day-to-day basis as a council member. And if you take it seriously, it does hurt. It does take time. It does take time out of your life. But it's very important, the things that we are doing. And another thing that came up, if you signed up to do the job, do the job. Know the rule book so you can do your job the right way. Do your homework. And I got to tell you, these webinars really help you. And you might think an environmental webinar that they have, that's some of the most boring stuff. And Randy, they have things on IT all the time. And I'm a nerd. I don't understand IT and do not want to understand. I used to pay people to do my IT. But it's important to learn those things. The next one's coming up is grants, and I think Kim has already left. But, you know, here goes Skip on getting more education on grants. So it's very important, in my opinion, and I really would like to recommend that my fellow council members sign up for those webinars. A couple of hours out of your month, 3 hours out of your month, is not that bad. The last thing, I know my fellow council members have already made the talked about it, but thanking the residents for being here. It's important that you all show up, you voice your opinion, you voice your concerns, and thank you for doing it in a professional manner. I cannot tell you how many conversations I have had the past month about people saying, I want to go to the council meeting and I want to talk about XYZ. My last words to them are, when you get to the podium, be professional. If you're going to get angry, keep your butt in your seat. And I apologize if that offends anyone, but I mean it from my heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Skip. Bill?
Just thank you to the staff. You know, years and years and years ago, I always worked under the philosophy, give it to your department heads and they will tell you what they need. Your job is to tell you what you can't have. And then it goes to the board and they make the final decision. And I think that's what this town does and has done for as long as I've been sitting up here, and even when I was sitting in the back where Steve's sitting right now. It's just something we've always done, and we've always done, I think, an outstanding job. And I respect the staff for that. The last thing, real quick, we had 90 residents at the shelter this past week. And this is the kicker. 16% of them were over 65. Wow. Think about that. 16% were over 65. And the bulk of those are people that have just lost their housing because of increases and they didn't have the money to live in that home any longer. We were able to get a number of VA vouchers this past month, which we've been sitting with a number. We're now a little bit over 10% being veterans, and we're 6,497 meals away from busting 300,000 meals served in the shelter. I just thank you, Ponce Inlet, for participating in the shelter. I've said it I don't know how many times, and I will continue to say it, because you, in your little small amount of money that we give, have been important in saving, you ready for this, 721 lives in housing. That's not bad for 4 years of operation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. I attend the roundtable of elected officials, and that's composed of one elected official from each municipality in Volusia and the county government to discuss the countywide issues and concerns. It's hosted by Volusia County, and these meetings are open to the public. Now, I provided to the council, and it is part of the public record, a number of documents from the last meeting. Usually I don't do this, and the information I obtained from the meeting, I speak with our manager, who also goes to the roundtable. And what we try to do, we want to ensure that the town gets the benefit of the information that we learn at the meetings. But what I wanted to draw everybody's attention to, please just take the time. If you look at the agenda, the second item is community health update and information. We have the Halifax Health Department Chair, Medical Director of Emergency Services, the President and CEO of Advent Health, the Administrator of the Florida Department of Health, and the CEO and COO of SMA Healthcare. I provided